Good morning, Ms. Milun.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good, good. We have so many birth dates to get through.
Excellent. Let's focus.
So let's start the 9th of the 10th, 1957. And this is Denise.
Okay. So
I've never seen you in blue, Bev.
Really?
This is a whole new you, Bev. I feel like
it's
I'm Dr.
Nice
Seuss.
Blue,
there has to be
it?
A rhyme coming out after that. Lovely. You look good in blue, Bev. Blue
Thank
is you.
You,
Bev. You are blue, Bev. Okay, sorry, Bev. The 9th of the 10th, 1957,
I want you
Denise.
To carry on. Do it. Another three lines.
I'm loving
I
it.
I believe in you. Mm. All right, Denise. Denise. Denise with her opinions. She's very affectionate. That I'll give her. She's
okay.
Generous, affectionate, loves to communicate. Childlike, enthusiastic about the things she's inspired with, not that great with boundaries, needs to learn when to speak, when not to speak, when to share opinion, when not to share opinion. And she has good opinions, so she wants to share them all the time. And mm-hmm. she has a very exacting way about how the world should be and a very dramatic perspective on how things could play out if they just went the way she says they should, right? So the work there is to live without needing affirmation or without needing people to respect her, and just to be this person, be this compassionate, generous person, be that person, have the opinions, do the assessments. Well, she could do an amazing assessment of what you're doing wrong right now, Nikki. I promise she's a forensic analyst. But the truth is, Denise, let's just hope you hear this. Not everyone needs the opinion. Not everybody needs to hear what they're doing right or wrong. Most people don't really want your assessment. In fact, no, let me rephrase this. Most people do not want your assessment of them. Mm. They don't want it because it doesn't help them. If a person's not ready to send me their details and ask for how they can improve themselves, then you can go knock on their door and say, here's how you can improve yourself. Your friend gave me your birthday and this is a you know, gift I have and here's what I've got and this is how you can improve yourself. And they look at me and they go, should I call the police? I mean, go away. Mm. Who are you? Mm. Who are you to have an opinion on my life and how I should change? Mm. Now, in that, if you can picture that happening every single time you open your mouth to give somebody a criticism or an assessment or how you think they can improve, well, then you might understand why it's not well received. And the catch with that is for such an affectionate and caring person, there's distances she'll have between her and other people that she won't necessarily understand. But I was just trying to help. I was just trying to be encouraging. I was just trying to show them this or show them that.
So it's coming from the right place.
And the heart is pure. Mm. So, but, you know, that's not the only thing that wins rewards yeah. at the end of the day. Yeah. That's okay. not the only thing that gets the accolades. Mm-hmm. A pure heart needs to be managed in a way and channeled in a way that it can create positivity. It can flourish with positivity. So if you have a pure heart, then all you'll be saying most of your life is, but I didn't mean it that way. But I didn't mean to hurt you. You didn't understand me properly. That wasn't my intention. So if you're thinking through your life and you hear those kind of things happening, then your heart might be pure. Mm-hmm. Your intentions may be good. But what is happening between that and the communication, there's a glitch in the matrix. Something's not on. So one of the questions you can ask yourself, Denise, before we move on to our next lady, is do I like the kind of things said to me that I say to other people?
So it's putting yourself in another person's shoes.
Just sit there
being
for a
the
moment.
Recipient of what you
That's
are
right.
Saying.
You see the responses people have sometimes when, and I'm not talking about all the amazing qualities Denise had, because if people want to just send in their birthdays to have me wax lyrical about them, they can pay me for a consult and we can, you know, we can wax lyrical the first half an hour and then they feel really strong and then we can go into the real work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have a few minutes with each person, if that. So yeah. I know you're wonderful and so I try and comment on that slightly, but the bottom line is, we're doing this because we say, what am I here to learn?
Yeah.
What can I work on?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things is the way you take direction in life and the way you give direction in life, the way you manage yourself, the way you encourage yourself and other people. And to help you refine that process, you may want to start asking yourself, how would I respond to the comment I just made? Mm. Would I feel full? Would I feel good? Would I feel wounded? How would I feel if they had just said that to me?
Okay.
And some people say, well, I feel great because I like to know the truth. You're lying. I don't believe it. I don't buy it for a second. People want to believe that other people believe in them and that they encourage them and etc. Unless you are trying out for some kind of sport, or you're trying out in business, or you're trying out in marriage, or you're trying out in anything, and you're getting coaching on it, and you're asking people to help you, and you're paying them for that, it's not likely that criticism is what you're hoping for from the people you're close to.
Okay, so then let's look at this, and we need to move on because we've got so many. But if you're working closely with someone, for example, if you're in a relationship with someone, for example, and they do something which doesn't serve you, you don't operate well in the way they communicate or the whatever that they do, whatever it is. So you're saying, Be wary of the way you're saying it. So instead of turning around and saying, you know what, you've got a communication problem, your communication's not concise, or I don't like the way, it's rather, it's telling the person how you feel. This is based on what we've discussed in the past. So it's rather saying to this person, you know, when you communicate like that to me, it makes me feel this, this, and this. That's what I'm trying to clarify.
And
because
I
would prefer
that you communicate in this way going forward. Can we do it like
because
that?
I'm just trying to get it clear for Denise. Because we don't
I'm sorry,
live...
I'm speaking in garbled
tongue. No, you're not at all. It's just we live in a world where we're not insular. And we are interacting with other people, and sometimes we would prefer it if another person maybe addressed us in a different way or you know what I'm saying to you, babe? So saying that you can still get your point across, it's the way you're doing it.
Yes and no.
Okay.
You can still get your point across, but sometimes you can gently deliver a criticism of someone else and it can be just as soul-destroying.
Mm-hmm.
But because you're delivering it so gently, they sit there in the moment and think, oh, those are nice words.
All right, okay.
And then they walk away and their legs fall off.
So rather make it about you.
No.
No?
Rather don't criticize people unless they beg you to. And even then, if they're not paying, be careful to open your mouth.
But if it directly affects you, what they are doing is affecting you.
That's not criticism. Then we have a confusion between criticism and communication of need. Criticism is, you're not good at that, Tabo. Just an example, Mr. T.
Okay.
Don't turn and suddenly open
just,
your
just look away,
Tabo.
Don't make eye contact right now.
Look away. Look away. That's a criticism.
Okay.
You're not doing that properly. What's wrong with you? Why
All
would
right.
you do it like that?
Okay.
Anybody would know that you do it like this and like that.
Okay.
Why are you doing that? You should never do that. When you go out, you shouldn't wear that because
All
that
right.
color's terrible
All
with
right.
you,
All right.
et
cetera. All right.
Those are criticisms.
Mm-hmm.
And the person can say, but I meant you look so much better in blue,
mm-hmm.
and you're going out in orange all the time, and mm-hmm. I was just trying to be encouraging.
Okay. Hear you.
Now, there's a very big difference between that and communicating need. So we communicate, and I say to you, Nikki, I hear that you want to start off on this particular platform each week. I would prefer that you give me a heads up before we go on air so that I can get my thinking clear.
Mm-hmm.
And this is completely irrelevant for everyone listening. This is not me hinting at anything.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer you give me a heads up before we go on air so that I can get my thinking clear. And then when we are on air and you throw that at me, I'm ready. I don't want there to be dead air. I don't want to sit here quietly trying to think, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not professional. It doesn't show a great showing for Chai FM. And I don't want people, you know, to get the impression that I'm confused or I'm whatever. Not that confusion's a problem. But if I know what I'm talking about, I need my head in line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a person who's going to go on and do a financial interview, I'm not thinking about relationships. I'm not thinking about that, you know. And Tuesday, I'll be talking about how does self-esteem affect the way you make money. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we'll be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be thinking, my head will be in line, right? So if I feel like I'm being put on the back foot each time, to communicate my need is to say to you, I would prefer that.
Okay.
When this happens, when I come into the studio and we start and you launch into this particular platform, it's happened a couple of weeks in a row. I've been meaning to say this to you, but my preference is that we do it in this way. Just give me a heads up a moment before we go on air, please, because I feel inadequate. I
mm-hmm.
feel unprepared,
okay.
and I would prefer to do it this way. That's communicating need, and mm-hmm. yes, everybody should be learning to get that right.
Okay.
Because until we can do that, we cannot have our needs met in a reasonable fashion by the people we're involved with, business-wise or personally, and it is a frustration and a resentment that grows between people, and it creates huge problems.
Got it. And Denise has just sent through an SMS saying, Bev, thank you. Cannot tell you how spot on and helpful and life-changing this is for me. Now I know why I've created what I have. beautiful Shabbos. That is amazing.
Yay, Denise.
And Denise, thank you.
And she's so young. I mean, Denise is a young woman of 55. You go change the next 50 years. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
That's
go
wonderful,
and prove them.
Denise. Lovely.
Because Denise, you're lovely, compassionate, affectionate, generous, enthusiastic, loves kids. You know, there's so much lovely there. Gentler voice in the world,
fabulous.
That's all. But don't be hiding your thoughts, because she has the most unbelievable thoughts. Just make certain they're about things and not about people who are standing in front of you. Mm. And watch your relationships improve. This is a great technique, Denise, and everyone else listening. Every time you have a thought that involves directing somebody, bite your tongue, let it pass, let the moment pass, watch the reaction in the relationship, in the interaction, etc. And then, you know, let it out a few times. Watch that reaction. You're bright. You'll figure it out. Mm. It does not build your bucket. It doesn't fill your bowl. And it doesn't build the relationship bowl either.
Mm. And, you know, to hear these things is not always easy. But to be and to be in the space where Denise is right now, to take it and understand it and hopefully use it,
yes. Wonderful.
Then, you know, yes. This is all worth it. Okay, we're going to take a break. After the break, the female who is born on the 15th of September, 1966, you are going to be profiled.
This is 101.9
Chai FM.
Welcome back. Self-esteem engineer Bev Malun is in the studio. Thank you for all those SMSs. Keep them coming. And you can call us directly in the studio on 0861 24 24 36 and we will take your call first. Just before we do move on to this lady born on the 15th of September 1966, we were talking about scams, Bev, and you were saying something very interesting off air about a scam. And you know, I mean, someone SMSed and said 13,000 rand. That's got to hurt.
It's got to hurt, and the woman who's lost 800,000 will hurt, and all the people, Bernie Madoff will be hurt, and Tenenbaum will be hurt, and with every other Ponzi scheme. There's a lot of financial loss and pain. I've been scammed before, as I mentioned to you. I've been scammed, and it was hurtful, but I was in a very desperate space, and I wasn't thinking clearly. There was so much fog, it was like hard to see through the mush, and I made very poor choices, but there's a very direct link between, I think, two things and scamming. Firstly, there's the self-esteem aspect. And secondly, there's a very interesting karmic balancing that happens. And it's hard to explain. And a lot of people say, oh, rubbish, I don't buy that for a second. But if money gets taken from you, it wasn't due to you. There's no nice way to put that. If you look into karmic...
It's a painful thing to hear when you work very hard for money.
Agreed.
We work very hard.
But part of what happens with loss and pain is character refinement. That's why it's coming. If you were the benevolent creator, if you were the benevolent, giving, generous-spirited, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of this planet, and you cared, and I'm saying it's a hypothesis, and you cared so much for each individual being's growth, development, because this was a program. Coming to Earth is a program of character refinement, of self-refinement, of growth, of development, of purification, of elevation, whatever you want to call it. Wouldn't you put obstacles in the way so they can grow themselves? Wouldn't you give them opportunities to learn character strengths that they don't necessarily have, to learn resilience, to learn persistence, to have an opportunity to look at themselves when maybe they're not looking at themselves? Now, I can tell you that if you have the money and you're keeping it, it may or may not be due to you, but it will balance out. It'll balance out in the end. In this life, in another life, whatever it is. When money gets taken from us, it may be, and this is a perspective I'm suggesting people use to help them get through that part of it and then start looking at the character refinement. Because we can sit with woe is me all we like. I can't believe it happened. It's so terrible. And believe me, after it happened to me, I got into bed and I cried for 3 days after work every day. I came home. I was walking around in this shattered stupor. I could not believe how obviously short-sighted and volatile my decision-making was. Like, so from here to there, so spontaneous, so unthought out, so manipulated, so obviously manipulated. But the reason why most people get scammed is either that they're desperate or greedy. Both of those places are places of insecurity. Yeah. I was both desperate and greedy at the time. Now, that requires character refinement, because whether I have or whether I don't have, being desperate or greedy does not lend itself towards character refinement. It puts me in a state of insecurity. It is going to cloud my judgment. And I cannot live with self-esteem in the world where I manage my risks, where I manage my interactions, I manage my relationships, I take time to assess things if I'm insecure, desperate, or greedy. Mm. It's not possible. And so people would be selling themselves very short to not look at where they have been scammed or taken for a ride or whatever, and ask themselves, were they in the position that led them to that moment of desperation or greed? Which one was it? Because if it's desperation, one, yeah, we have to look at your faith. We have to look at your commitment. We have to look at the effort you're making. We have to look at what are you actually doing in your world to make a difference? Are you just waiting for the quick buck? Are you just looking for that sure in, that miracle savior? Are you just waiting for something to drop down in front of you and say, here's a treasure chest, your problems are over? Are you making enough effort, or are you really just waiting for someone else to save the day? And along comes the seemingly savior and you think, oh, phenomenal, save me. So there's stuff we need to look at in ourselves to make certain, one, something like that never happens again, or two, something like that never happens to us. Because when someone comes with a great business opportunity, I always encourage people to be skeptical as possible and completely open-minded, which means you investigate, you see what they're registered with, you see where their premises are, you check out their longevity, their history, their references, etc. You take time about it. If it's a good deal and it's right for you, you taking a little bit of time about it will not compromise it. Any deal that says, well, if you're not in now, it's over, you're in a problem to begin mm-hmm. with. Then the call is, that's a poker play. Then mm-hmm. the call is, okay, I fold. Go find someone else. Because if I can't take my time to think about a solid investment, it's probably not solid. Probably not solid. And so if we go into something with a skepticism that says, I'm not going to believe this is true until I have found everything out, but I don't know that it's not true, so give me all the information. Are you registered? Where are you registered? What do you have? Where's your longevity? What's your papers? And give me all the information. How does the business model work? How are the returns actually going to work? Often, if it's too good to be true, it generally yes. is. But sometimes it's too good to be true, and it can be, but then requires an amount of effort. Where it requires very little effort from you with great returns, the likelihood of it being genuine is almost zero. Where it has great returns, and they can happen fast, but it requires huge effort from you, the likelihood of that being true is very good. And that's a lot with network marketing. Network marketing falls very flat in the world because people think they are Ponzi schemes or pyramid schemes. But if you read between the lines and you understand a network market, yes, you can make a lot of money. Yes, in a much shorter time than you can in a normal business model. And yes, it will take a huge amount of effort. There is no way to get ahead in any business and get it off the ground without a huge amount of effort. So if you're getting fooled into this lovely place, then there's a self-esteem lacking. There's a misperception about what is real and what is worth it. I always say to my son, do the work. Have the prize. You want the results? The point is the process. Get the point right, the goal, where you're headed, what you want to achieve, what's possible with this, how it works. That's the real process. And then the process, it's not the point. It doesn't matter what I have to do to become the optometrist I became. Do I want to go study for 4 years? No, not at all. Not at all. I don't like studying, just by the way. I love information. I love education. But do I like to have to prove I learned something? No, I'm not one of those people. I don't like it. I don't enjoy that environment at all. But I wanted to be an optometrist. So the point was the life, being able to share that skill with underprivileged, work with people, have a business, have a kind of medical, quasi-medical practice that doesn't involve too much gunge, because I'm not a gunge girl. But I didn't want the process. And that's where a lot of people fall short in scams, is that they have fooled themselves into thinking, in their misperception of what is real in life, is that you can have the prize without the work. Mm, mm. You're a success story every day you decide to get up and do the same routine that improves you successfully. The same exercise, the same supplements, similar food, good stuff, good food, good hygiene, etc. The same communication, the working on yourself, the refining. That's your success story. You will have opportunities to succeed and be acknowledged for it. But your success story is in your daily deliberate action. And if you believe you can make money without a daily deliberate plan to do so, then you've fooled yourself into your own misperception of what's possible, and that comes from a low self-esteem.
Thanks for that, Bev.
Wonderful. Let's look at the 15th of September, 1966. It's just put a whole different idea and perception around the scam.
Not anywhere here am I saying that those people who are doing the scams are good people. No, they might be very good people making very poor choices. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're evil. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying that those are illegal activities. There is a karma balancing that happens somewhere in the world, in the universe. They will be balanced out for that behavior. That's not your issue. Very seldom can we catch these people. That's not your issue either. The woe is me issue doesn't help it to never happen again, and it doesn't help you to grow from the opportunity to have gone through so much pain and loss.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Milun.
Moving along.
Let's move along.
The lady on the 15th of September, 1966. Mm-hmm. Has very simply got her own story that is different to the way everyone else's is. And what that means is she is looking at the world. She sees it should be one way. The world is not that way. There's a lot of disillusionment for her. And if she's listening, she's probably going, oh my goodness, yes, that's exactly how I feel. Mm-hmm. And that is her struggle. The struggle is to be that person who wants to be different in a world that isn't the way you wish it was. That's a struggle. And part of her struggle is in articulating her needs and in talking about the things that hurt her, because she's a naturally giving and generous and affectionate person. Socially, she needs a lot of affirmation and inclusion and respect and acknowledgement. And if she doesn't get that, she might withdraw. So that's the paradox that's been set up for her. She wants to be different. She has her own way she wants to be in the world. And that's what I mean by her own story. She has a different plan for herself or different wish for herself, but she may hold herself back because she needs the social acknowledgement. What a pity. Mm. So it's people like that who are so fantastic on a stage because they say, I want to be different. I am different. You're the one paying to watch me, and I'm the one up here being different. Mm-hmm. I'm being the theater. I'm being the story. I'm being the drama for you. That's the role I want to fulfill. Mm-hmm. And I know people who are so reserved and quiet socially, but get them on a stage with a script, and they are unbelievably charismatic. And so when we find our place, when we give ourselves permission to be in our place, whatever that place is, it doesn't have to be respected by other people, provided you're doing nothing wrong intentionally and breaking no rules on purpose. If we can't live without the acknowledgement and affirmation of other people, then we can't live our story. Mm. We can't be in our program. We can't get into our path. And unless we do, in some way, shape, or form, never compromising our needs on a month-to-month basis. I am not the guru on the hill who says, drop everything, go follow your passion. I've met so many people who've seen life coaches who've got that kind of advice. Drop everything, follow your passion. If you don't follow your passion, you'll never have great success. Rubbish. People are a success because they go. And the people listening today, it might be at work and streaming or listening. I've got such lovely feedback from people who sneak earphones in and sit and listen. And so fantastic. Wherever you are, I don't believe for a second you're ecstatic. Not everyone's full and doing what they're passionate about. Many people go to work every day. They can't stand their boss. They don't enjoy the environment. They feel unfulfilled at work. But their success story is that every day they get up, they clean up, they get the kids off to school, they sort out their home, and they get into their transport, whatever that may be, personal or some kind of South African transport, which is under huge scrutiny at the moment for good reason, and hopefully it'll improve. And they get to their job and they fulfill their purpose, because why? The process is not the point. The point is they have a family to contribute to. They have a life to take care of. But if you can find out, and that's their success story, that's what I'm saying. That's their success story. And she might be doing this also. She might be living a life in which she's not completely fulfilled because she doesn't give herself permission to have the space to do the things she'd love to do. And what I'm trying to say here is all of these people who are not completely fulfilled in what they do are still successful because they're going out there and doing it. They're not quitting and hiding and watching TV. But
you still have to be able to find joy.
That's right. And so what is so important is that if one of your joys, and I have a client like this, one of her joys is communicating with old people. Mm. But there are certain things she has to do. No one wants to pay her to communicate with old people. And so she goes on a weekend and she communicates with old people. Mm. Her bucket's full for the week. Mm. I know somebody who's a passionate horse rider. And she works flat out 10 hours a day. She's a body trainer. Mm. 10 hours a day with clients, or sometimes 12, sometimes 7 to 7. And she works it, and she works it. She enjoys her job. She's not completely fulfilled by it. It's client after client, hour on hour, working other people's bodies and et cetera. And that's her income. And she does it with as full a heart as she can. But you know what helps her do that? Is from Friday afternoon up until Sunday afternoon, whenever she gets a chance, she goes riding for 3 hours on Friday, 3 hours on Saturday morning, three hours on Sunday morning. Her bucket is full for the week.
I hear you.
So am I saying you should not do? You want to volunteer? Go volunteer. You love to work in church groups? Go work in them. You want to work with children? Go do it. In and around what you do, so you don't compromise it. You want to be an artist, so draw at night, paint at night. Who says you have to give up your life to be an artist? You want to sing? Sing on the weekend. Sing in the evening. You make sure your needs are taken care of. That's living with self-esteem.
I like that very much. Thank you, Bev. And I hope that that lady born on that day, 16th of September 1966, it has lots of value for you. Let's take a break. After the break, something interesting, Bev, and I think let's end off with this one. The 21st of January 1994 and the 2nd of January 1997. And it's the SMS says, these are sisters. Can you tell me the different personalities and the interaction also with the mother who's on the 12th of January 1966 and the father who's on the 9th of May? So you've got a whole family, and we're going to break it. So, and the father is the 9th of May, 1964, and this is Trevor. So Trevor's two daughters, I presume it's his daughters, the 21st of Jan, 1994, 2nd of Jan, 1997, mother 12th of Jan, 1966, father 9th of May, 1964. My goodness, a break. We'll be back. And I've given you a father and a mother and two daughters, and that, as you said, is a show in itself. So Trevor, apologies, we're not going to do it because, as Bev said, she wants to give time and value to the four people, obviously, that you've seen through of those four birth dates. So please do listen next week, and this will be the first one that we do next week. Hey Bev,
absolutely.
We'll start off with this next week, Trevor. So just make sure that you're listening next week at 9:30. And for the rest of you who sent through those SMSs, thank you so much. Keep sending them through, and hopefully we'll be able to cover them next week with Bev. So Bev Milun, self-esteem engineer who has inspired us and got us thinking completely differently around scamming and whatnot. Thank you. Have a good Shabbos. Have a wonderful weekend. Until next week.
Thank you.